Welcome to Reiki Cafe Radio. We're your hosts, Christine Renee
and Bruce Taylor. We come together with more than 35 years of experience in Reiki, meditation, chakra knowledge, and holistic healing. We are passionate about helping individuals release resistance, step into their authentic selves, and align their lives with the truth of who they are.
Reiki Cafe Radio is your choice for vibrant Reiki conversations, meditation experiences, and holistic wellness. This is your space for a deeper look into the ancient wisdom through modern eyes. So grab your tea or coffee and join us as we sip our way through this week's episode. There we go. Wonderful. Isabel, what's your relationship with time?
Oh my goodness, so many things. So for those of you who don't know, I'm currently a nursing student, and that has a ton of coursework. You have people telling you all the time, you have to have this done and this done. And especially in Western society, we have a scarcity mindset all around. And so that's kind of what I was born into. My father is a contractor, and so he's always had 20 different jobs at once. And my mom is very much, you know, time is of the essence. We have to have this structure and get things done now, now, and now. And so I kind of grew up in that mindset of, you know, there's never quite enough time, and you really have to budget your time and save time now when you can, and play comes later, and all of these things. And as I've grown into my own ideas around this, I've, especially with nursing school, I started realizing that, you know, time doesn't work the way that we think it does, because there are those days where you're massively productive and you get so much done in the span of an hour, whereas other days you get that same amount done and it takes you all day. And so I am always looking for those connections between science and spirituality. And so when I started noticing this disconnect in my day, I started exploring what time looks like on the other side. So when you go into quantum physics and even just the physics of time, what actually is time and how do we use it? And so from that perspective, my entire viewpoint of time has changed. And now I feel like, you know, someone says there's never enough time. And I'm like, is there actually time at all? And like, I've kind of swung full spectrum from, you know, there's never enough time to like, that's not even real. We got this. So I've experienced the span, and I'm settled in this nice middle place now where time fits like a glove and it's just fun to play with.
Yes, that's where where the hope is to get to, where time is just fun to play with. And one of the things that have always impressed me about working with you thus far is how the energetic alignment of time for you just seems to work out really lovely. Like, she will literally call me and we'll have a meeting or something. And I'm like, well, how did your nursing exam go? She's like, oh, I just let my guy take it. And it's like, so you have all the studying to do. And she's just like, yeah, I'm just moving through the energy of it. And I'm like, fantastic. I'm glad that works so well for you.
Yeah, I think I got to a point, especially last semester, it was really fascinating, because I think especially when you start looking at things in this new way, your mind has that moment of like, oh my gosh, what if this actually doesn't work? And like, I'm just completely crazy. And I actually got to experience it firsthand this last semester. So at the beginning of the semester, I was really trying to like effort my way through, and I had my planner and it was color coded, and like my to-do lists had to-do lists and my notes had notes, and I was very structured. And I, about 2 weeks into semester, I was just in a terrible funk. Like, I felt awful. I was always out of time. Like, nothing felt like it was fitting right. And so I was like, okay, you know what? No, I'm not doing this, because I have that relationship with my guides where I was like, if you want me here, you're going to have to show me. And so we're going to play, and I'm going to trust that I'm here for a reason. And if I truly am here for a reason, then it's all going to work out. And so I switched my mantra from being, you know, I have to get this done now. And I really started looking at, I know you're really big into this, Christine, of changing the language that you use around time. And so I think the first step for me was changing this idea of you have to do things. Because at the end of the day, there's nothing that you have to do. And, you know, people always challenge me on that. And then I say to them, I think the favorite here is taxes. Like, you have to do your taxes. And I'm like, but is the IRS actually like physically there making you type out your taxes? No, You're choosing to do it because you don't want the consequences of not doing it. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, eventually everything becomes a choice where it's maybe not your favorite choice. It's maybe not what you in your heart of hearts want to be doing. At the end of the day, everything that you do is going to be a choice because you're choosing to do it because you'd rather do it than experience the consequences of not doing it.
Yes.
And so like from there, when I made that switch and I was like, okay, everything's a choice. And so if everything's a choice, I'm going to choose to enjoy this and I'm going to choose to do it in a way that feels fun. And I started really flowing through my semester and I was like, okay, I've got this exam. Everybody's studying 18, 20 hours for it. I'm going to study two. Mm-hmm. Because that's all I have time for. That's all that feels good for me to spend on this exam.
Yeah.
And other than that, I'm going to go and I'm going to do the things that feel fun. I'm going to do the things that I feel called to do because I do not feel called to sit at this desk for 13 hours and study. And so I would study for two and I'd be like, okay, I'm done. And I ended up getting, I think this semester, the best grades I've ever gotten. And I put in maybe half the time that I usually do.
I love it. I love it. And I love the piece of it. Like, yes, I am all about watching our words. And I think so much of our culture and our society is about the scarcity of time and the words that we use around time and playing victim to time. We really have this victim mentality that there's not enough time. I have to get all the things done and da 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 da. And I lived in that space for decades, like always type A. I was the one who was like, was trained. If you're on time, you're late. If you're early, you're on time. If you're late, you're in trouble. Like that was totally ingrained to me as a youth. And time always made me nervous. And it was during that transformation of my personal transformation story of like, I can't live like this. This causes too much anxiety. I'm having severe angst around life in general because of watching the clock constantly. And so when I moved into that, what's going to feel most expansive? How can I learn to get along with time, cooperate with time, collaborate with time? And I went to my spirit team and was like, I need a guide who can teach me about time. And so I was like, I need someone to teach me how to collapse timelines. I need someone to teach me how to really work with time so that I can feel less stressed out all the time. Right. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that what I've been working on for the last few years is tracking timelines. And this is super fun. This is super fun. Where you can go into a meditative space and you envision the different parallel universes timelines that are possible. And you find the one that is most in correlation to your goals, to the envision of your life, your desired realities, and then learning how to collapse the timelines to bring it in closer, to bring it in faster. And so this is so fun. But it ultimately comes down to that, yes, all of our decisions during our day is about choice. I absolutely 100% agree with that. And also, what are we spending time with? What are we spending time on? Are these activities that are getting us into an expansive mindset, or are they getting us into a mindset where we feel incompetent or that we barely know what we're doing? Like for the taxes example, I don't do my own taxes. I believe that there is someone out in the world that loves to punch numbers and loves to do the thing and loves to give advice on it. And that's their zone of genius. That's what they love to do. And so my job is to delegate to the person that it's their zone of genius, that it's an alignment for them to punch numbers and try to save people money and like work the system. Like that's what they like. And my job is to say in my zone of genius, which is doing coaching calls and webinars and teaching people all of the things. And this is what makes me happy. Just the other day, we were on a Reiki Business Accelerator class together and I was doing group coaching. And after the call, Isabel was like, you just lit up. Like you are so in your zone. I'm like that. This is what I love. Like I love helping people figure out their program development and helping them get on track and like see where they're going. And then, you know, if it was a personal coaching call, it's like, let's do the time tracker. Let's figure out what is in that timeline and how do we bring it in closer. So it's super fun. And so there is this playing with time and letting our guides teach us about time. Because yes, in the fifth dimensional reality, there is no time. There is no time and space. When we do distance Reiki, there is no time and space. And yet we live in the 3D reality where it's a structure to our day. If time didn't exist here on this 3D reality, it would be chaotic. Mm-hmm. It would be craziness. And so there's this play in between the 3D and the 5D of like, how can I utilize time to be in an expansive state so I can have more of it and not get super caught up in the little things that don't really matter, that aren't game changers, that aren't needle point movers. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that you talk about collapsing timelines. And this is part of why I love connecting the science and the spirituality, because I feel like depending on who you're talking to, you just switch the language and it's the same thing. So when you go in on like a quantum level and you're looking at atoms and electrons and all the things, what happens is you actually do have an infinite number of potentials of where that electron could manifest. And what happens is, I'm sure probably all of you on this call are familiar with what's called the observer effect, which is where basically the scientist changes the outcome of the experiment with his or her intention. And, you know, in Reiki and in spiritual practices, we always talk about the power of intention, the power of intention. But when you look at it, what's actually happening on like a scientific level is you're collapsing the wave potentials. You have an infinite number of wave potentials. And when you put your intention, suddenly it's just one. And so when you talk about the collapsing the timelines and bringing into existence the one that you want to be on, it's actually perfectly aligned with what we know scientifically, because that's what you do with your intention. That's what intention is to collapse these infinite waves that could be into this one that is. And so I love that you take that and you turn it into a visualization, because I mean, if you ask any Reiki practitioner, you know, what's the most important piece of being a practitioner, they're going to say your intention. You know, it always comes down to what is your intention. And so when we think about, you know, you mentioned having that intention to have more time, people are probably like, well, how do you have more time? That's not possible. There's a fixed number of time. And the way that I kind of taught my brain to break past that barrier was, if you actually look at time from a physics standpoint, time passes slower at sea level than it does in the mountains. So if you have two twins and one of them grows up at sea level and one of them grows up in the mountains and they come back together after, say, 50 years, one of them will actually be measurably younger than the other, because at lower levels, time passes more slowly. And so there's this, and it's fascinating to think about, because all of a sudden this idea of time is a uniform concept goes out the window, because it's not. It's this thing that's extremely malleable. And like Einstein showed, I'm not trying to get too sciencey here,
but
it's all relative. It's all relative. And it's in relation to what's happening, how fast you're going, what's the gravitational pull where you are. Are you closer to sea level? Like, that's crazy. If you have two twins and one of them's at sea level and one of them's on a mountain, they're going to be different ages. And it's true. This is a Googleable thing. Like, you can go look this up. And I think as soon as I realized that, it's like, wow. So you actually could have more time. Mm-hmm. And even if, like, take the intention piece aside, if I just go up to a mountain, suddenly I have more time. And so this is something that physicists found, where they would like accidentally knock a clock over and look at it on the ground, and suddenly it's at a different time. And it's like, well, where's that happening? And it's not like a millisecond. It's measurable and it's noticeable. And so this idea that time is uniform and we can't change it suddenly becomes not true anymore. And I think that realizing that was really where I started going, okay, so time's not what I think it is. How else is it not what I think it is? How else can I play with it, you know? And exactly. I think that was where it started to shift for me.
Yeah. And I think I love all of those pieces, like so many aha moments in that. And coming back to that place of, what activities do we choose that helps us actually get into that alignment state, helps us support us being in an expansive energy. So actually time slows down. And I love that piece because when you're doing something you love, it's like time doesn't exist. And so how many times a day do we get into that state so that we can actually stretch time?
Exactly.
And then remove the pieces that aren't in alignment for us. How can we delegate or like, it's like, trying to do something I know doesn't work. Like, let's say I love my favorite example is Facebook ads. This is my zone of incompetence. I don't like it. It makes me cry. It makes me frustrated. And whenever I try to look at, you know, this is why I grow all of my things organically. I'm like, I don't want to do it. But when I'm in that state, it's like time is taking up more and more and more time. It's an energy zapper and it's a time sucker and all of these things. And when I can just be like, and this isn't worth my energy. And so let's delegate it to someone who can be in an expansive state around playing with it, utilizing it, seeing it as a tool and not something that's just going to crash them. And so look at your life and go, what really is my zone of incompetence? Now, this language is coming from Gary Hendrick's book, The Big Leap. So if you haven't read it yet, this is one of the ones that I absolutely love and recommend because it really hones in on what are your zones, what are your limiting beliefs, and how can we break through those limiting beliefs to really be in alignment to our zone of genius, to our zone of magic, to, you know, Abraham Hicks calls it the vortex. Like, how can we get into this expansive state so that everything feels more flowing, more at ease? And this isn't the, you know, like I have a family, like, yeah, I forget sometimes that time is like, doesn't exist. We all usually live in it, especially when things are so structured with times, but with the pandemic, oh man, I've got to say like lockdown taught me so many lessons about time and how getting to spend my morning ritual time for me. And in that expansive state, tuning into my higher self and who Christine Renee needs to be for that day, who wants to be that day, who is aligned for that day. Then that's when the divine inspiration shows up. That's when the things start flowing. And then it's like, what is the one thing that is possible for me today that I can focus on that will be a big needle point mover? So it's not just about getting the 10 things checked off the to-do list. What's the one thing on it that's really going to shift my business or shift my family life or shift whatever it may be and focus on that potent priority for the day? So it comes down to like setting that attention, bringing it into that timeline. And this is why I think goals are actually super important, even for the woo-woo Reiki people. Like when we can have a goal set, like I foresee myself having 5 clients this week or 20 clients this month or whatever the number is, we can set the goal and state it with intention. We're putting it, we can place it into the timeline. We can wrap it in a real love light Reiki bubble, send it a Reiki blessing and put it into our inner timeline, lock it into place. So, and then start that vision of holding that vision that this is a done deal. This is happening. I'm moving forward in this.
Well, and what I love about the timeline is, you know, we tend to think of timeline as like 2019 to 2020 to 2021. It's very much like a timeline. But when you think about it in this way, it actually turns into this sequence of events that gets you from A to B. And it's like there doesn't have to be a time structure to that. And so what's happening when you're looking at that timeline and you're seeing that end result of which one aligns most with the higher self that you want to be, what you're actually looking at is an energetic outcome because that person, that version of you has their own energetic signature. And so when you're able to collapse that timeline and you're able to look at that version of you, what you're actually doing is aligning yourself to that energy. And we also know that time is just a form of energy. And it is malleable. And so when you're able to pinpoint exactly which timeline or which outcome you want to work towards with a goal or with collapsing the timeline like you were talking about, you're able to connect with that energy and that version of you is able to call you forward. Because like you said, one of my favorite sayings around time is time exists on the head of a pin in such a way that the future has already happened and the past has not yet begun. Like everything you're ever going to do has already in some way beyond our perception already happened. And so that version of you, that timeline version of you that you're trying to get to already exists. And so when you pinpoint that version and you say, this is the one, this is who I'm going to be, she or he can call you forward and lead you to the next best action to get you there. And so it doesn't have to be this 5-year, I mean, it may be a 5-year process, but it doesn't have to be, because suddenly you've cut out all the extras and you're able to see yourself on the other end. And so when you align yourself to that energy, when you ask yourself, what's my needle mover for today? Or my favorite way of doing this is asking, what's the most fun thing I can do right now? And, you know, a lot of times when we're working and we're trying to work toward a goal, we set ourselves like, I have to get this done by 12 p.m. or this has to happen by next Tuesday. But what you'll find is that when you've picked and selected that version of you, that timeline that you want to walk down, and you ask yourself, what's the needle mover today? What's the one thing? What's the most fun thing for me to do? You'll get these urges to do things that are outside of what you would usually do. And your mind's probably like, okay, but eating chocolate on the couch right now doesn't seem that productive. But, you know, maybe you end up sitting on the couch eating chocolate, an ad comes out, it gives you an idea, then you go work on this thing, and boom, you find yourself 2 weeks down the road. Whereas if you had just sat at your computer and worked on what you were doing, you'd still be sitting at your computer working on what you were doing. And so our minds like to think, because they're still existing in this present moment stuckness, if you will, they like to think that there's only one way forward. But when you're able to connect with that energy of the future and let them guide you, suddenly these ideas will just pop out of nowhere and guide you down a completely different path that your mind could never think of because it's not there. So it's like leaning into those nudges and trusting it is ultimately going to have you like quantum leap to the other side of the timeline, because again, time exists on the head of a pin. You could be there tomorrow if you wanted to. It's just how, you know, you've already walked that path. You're just remembering how you got there. How much are you going to lean into that and connect with that energy to get to the other side?
Oh, goosebumps, you know, like, and I think, I mean, that's just so right on. It's really feeling into what is the most fun, enjoyable, pleasurable way to go about this. And oftentimes people don't think that way. Like we're never trained to go, time out. Is there a more enjoyable, pleasurable way to do this activity? And when you actually like throw the rule book out, and I do mean that, like, yeah, I'm all about throwing out the manuals, the gurus, all of the things, because each individual is going to have their own internal compass of where they're going. And so you can see where you want to go and go, okay, I want to have 10K months, or I want to have a beautiful relationship or whatever. And you get to come to a space of the most expansive energy is pleasurable energy. It's that space of what's the most fun. And when we can be in that play, fun, happy space, then divine inspiration shows up, then inspired action shows up, then the things in our life to lead us down the road of synchronicity shows up and comes into our view. And whereas if we just put our nose to the grindstone and forged ahead, that's your world, that you're stuck in that 9-to-5 grind, literally like grinding away at what you're hoping will be success, though you haven't picked yourself up to look around and go, you know, it's a beautiful world. I'm a beautiful person. Like, how can I expand in joy and gratitude in my being in this place, in this moment, in that mindfulness of the present moment, knowing like, you know, that your future reality, the vision that you have is 100% a done deal. Everything will line up to match that.
And I love what you just said about really getting into that expansive state, because I know for me, there are those days where you wake up and you do your routine and you are just in it to win it. You're in the vortex, like Abraham Hicks calls it. You're in that expansive state and things just happen. Like I remember this one particular day, it was actually a day that I had a final even. And I woke up and I got in that state and I was just feeling so expansive. And my mantra during my school time was always, I have exactly as much time as I need to do everything I want to do and more. And that's what I would just say on repeat to keep my mind away from stressing about, oh my gosh, I have like 10 assignments and a final today. And so I woke up and I got into that expansive state and I ended up going to campus, studying the entire book in like 30 minutes, which is unheard of for this particular book. So then I went to a coffee shop and I ended up getting a job offer from a random guy and like just this complete day of synchronicities, all because I just woke up and I said, okay, I am not going to impose my own mind's timeline on today because I know that getting into that state is going to open me up to a level of knowledge that I wouldn't have previously had, which makes total sense because if you think about it, you know, we always talk about raising our vibrations and making sure our energy is high. But it's like, why are we doing that? And at the end of the day, it comes down to the higher your vibrations are, the closer you are to that energy of the divine, the closer you are to that energy of inspiration and expansion and abundance, because all of those are just energetic states of being. And so when you're able to, in any way you can, lift your energy or lift your mindset around time or around what you have to do that day, suddenly you realize that there's nothing you have to do that day. There's no set way that you do things, because when you're in that high state and when you have access to that inspiration, nothing's gonna work quite the way your mind wants it to work, because your mind wants things to be structured and scheduled and rigid and done this way. But there's never going to be a this way to do things, because you are a unique being in a unique time with a unique energy in that moment. And so when you're able to raise your vibrations, what you're actually doing is opening yourself up to that divine inspiration and saying, okay, like, I know that this mind is just part of me. And I know there's a greater whole of me that's calling me towards this goal, that's calling me towards this outcome. How are we going to do it today? How are we going to play? What is it that the next step looks like? And when you open yourself up to that, you'll find things just happening and happening and happening, because your mind can't predict the future, but your energy already knows what's going to happen. You just have to be in a place where you can hear it and trust it and lean into it. And suddenly this entire new world opens up.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's it. That is it. And I think so much of our culture and society is so ingrained on very specific timelines, and the way institutionally we're trained as a child in public schools of how things need to go and the way it should look all sets us up to be kind of mechanical of like, I do this thing and then I do this thing and then I do this other thing. And it's all on a very structured time, which routine is very good for kids. I'm not saying routine is bad. It's more of this, the overall training throughout those 13 years or whatever it may be is very, it trains your mentality of what does it mean to be late? What does it mean to be productive? What does it mean and have the societal pressure about what our worth is equivalent to how much we produce in a set amount of time. It tries to be crazy.
And it's how, so true.
It's so true. And how do we break out of that mold to actually, when the pressure isn't there and the of having so much things produced, when I can get into an aligned state, I can bust out so much more because I'm in expansive energy. And so it's like, yeah, I could do the thing in an hour if I'm in an expansive state, or it could take me 2 weeks. And it's like, when I decide, when you start to use your power of choice to understand what we're going to put our attention on, where we're going to spend our moments of the day that stack onto each other as a timeline, then we can decide where we once again take back the control. We're no longer a victim to the time. Mm-hmm. We want to be collaborators with time and frequency and energy, and not victim of, because when we get into a victim state, then our energy is contracting. Mm-hmm. Everything contracts down. And I think this is a huge lesson to learn is start to watch your words, start to watch how you recognize or tame for the rest of today, the rest of this week. Keep a journal with you. Every time you have, you see a statement about time, is it contracting? Are you putting yourself in a victim mode around time? I don't have enough time to do that today. Because what you end up telling the universe is that I'm no longer available to add anything else to my plate. And when we're no longer available, then the clients don't show up, the new opportunities don't come, the new relationship doesn't come into vibration, because you already said, I don't have enough time for anything else. And so when we can remove the negative energy from our language around time and say, use statements like, I get to, I choose to, I'm aligned with, when we're using those language, then we're energetically more in alignment now to have new opportunities show up for more love, for more abundance, for more success. And it's less stressful. It really is. It really is.
It is. And I love you mentioned the language shifts, because saying I get to is one of my favorite ways. But the other one that I found really works for me is, instead of in the morning when I think about what I need to do that day, I always go back to this idea of, wouldn't it be nice if? And I just sit down and I'm like, wouldn't it be nice if I got this done today? Wouldn't it be nice if this happened? Wouldn't it be nice if I wrote the sales copy and I studied for this exam and I turned in this assignment, and, you know, wouldn't it be nice if I got all these things done? And I think what happens when you switch, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this with, wouldn't it be nice if, yeah, is you open yourself up not only to this idea that there's something else that you could do with that time, because when you're saying, wouldn't it be nice if, you're acknowledging that there's an openness there. There's an infinite possibility of things that you could do in each second, in each moment, in each hour, in each day. And wouldn't it be nice if this is the thing that got done? But what you're also doing with that statement is, you are both stepping out of the victim mode and opening up to divine inspiration. Because when you're saying, wouldn't it be nice if, you're acknowledging that you do have that power of choice of directing what you're going to do in your day. But you're also saying, it would be wonderful if I did this, but I also acknowledge that there's a greater intelligence that may know better than I do about what to do today and about what needs to fill my day. So I always go through and I say, wouldn't it be nice if I got this done and this done and this done? And at the end, I'm like, but if there's something better for me to do, let's do that instead. So it's like when you step into that space of, wouldn't it be nice if, suddenly it takes all of the pressure away from, I have to do this. And it opens you up to the possibility. And I think it's that openness that's really most important, is having that ability to be flexible and open to the inspiration that comes. Because often what you'll see is that, you know, if you're thinking, oh, I have to do this, and then you're sitting at your desk and suddenly you're like, you should go to the water cooler and talk to your coworker. And it's like, but I don't want to go to the water cooler. I'm working right now. And so you just ignore it because you have to get this thing done. You've set yourself this intention and you've collapsed the possibilities into, now you're going to be sitting at your desk. Whereas who knows what could have happened? And so that openness to, when you have that urge, when you have that inspiration, being able to walk into it, trusting that there's something for you there, that's when time really starts to expand, because you've stopped putting limits on it. Yeah. You know, when you say, I have to get this done by 12 p.m., first of all, why? Who says you have to get it done by 12 p.m.? Who says it's going to take you longer than 12 p.m.? Like, why are you putting those limits around your to-do list and around, it's going to take this long and I have to have it done now? Because we know that time is an illusion and there's nothing that you have to do. So already there's a glitch there. There's something that could be more expansive. And so when you take those limits off and you open yourself up to the possibility, suddenly you begin to realize how expansive time actually can be. And that, you know, you could get this task done in 5 minutes. It's totally a possibility. Or it could take you 4 hours. It just depends on your mindset and opening up to that possibility. And I think the other switch I made that really helped me open up in that way was realizing how I viewed time in my day. Because I think when you grow up, you always hear about the 9 to 5. Like, it's always a 9 to 5 job. And so it kind of gets ingrained in you, even if you don't have a 9 to 5 job, that between the hours of 9 and 5 is when you get to be productive. Like, those 8 hours are the only hours you have to be productive. And I remember when I was growing up, I was always like, why is it those 8 hours? Like, if you sleep for 8 hours a night, you work 8 hours a day, that still gives you, on average, 8 hours of time that's not filled up by anything. And it's like, so why those? And what I realized last year was that I started to tell myself that after 5 p.m., my day was over. I had no more time left in my day. And one day I just realized there is a whole 5.5 hours between the time that work is quote unquote over and the time that I go to bed. What am I doing with those 5 hours that I'm not getting anything else done? Not that you have to get things done your entire day, but I think we all have these mental constructs of like 9 to 12 is productive time, 12 to 1, we can't get anything done because it's lunchtime, 12 to 5, we're productive again, and then 5 o'clock, our day is done. We go home, we wind down, we watch Netflix, we go to bed. And now if you do have a 9 to 5 job, obviously there's going to be some of that structure there. But what I'm really trying to bring your attention to here is this idea of how are you viewing your day? And how are you putting blocks and limits on your time? Because that's what you grew up hearing, that from 9 to 5, you're productive. And before that, it's too early to work. And after that, it's too late. Or, you know, one thing that I always heard, and I remember when I realized that this wasn't how it worked, my mind was blown. But you always hear about how when you work a full-time job, you never have free time. And so one day I went in and I was like, okay, let's test this theory. And so I went into a time tracker and I was like, how many hours are there in a week? If I budget, because I'm an overachiever, I was like, if I budget 50 hours a week for working and 8 hours a night, how many hours do I have left? And what happens is when you look at it, even if you're working 50 hours and you're sleeping 8 hours a night, which nobody does, but when you're doing that, you still have 8 hours of free time every single day. And I remember looking at that and going, all of these people believe that they don't have free time. And what you see is that they don't, in fact, have free time. Because they spend their day then doing, like you said, the 10 mini things, just what we would maybe term busy work, because they've told themselves to believe that they have a full-time job and therefore they're always busy. But you don't have to be. I mean, you have just as much time out of work as you do inside of work every single day of the week. But if you asked someone if that were true, they would tell you no. And I think that's fascinating, just the ways that we put blocks and constructs around time and telling ourselves that this is how much we have and this is how long it's going to take. And, you know, I'm always going to be busy because I have a full-time job. It's like, what stories are you telling yourself around time? And are they actually true? Because whether you understand the physics of time and that it's actually an illusion or not, you know, those stories are very tangible. If I never have free time, well, actually, you have at least 8 hours every day of free time. What are you telling yourself and what are you filling those hours with to make that reality real that you don't have free time?
Right.
You know?
And I think that's why with our certification program, with my coaching clients, long-term coaching clients, I give them a time tracker. You know, and once you start seeing like, okay, here's all the different areas of life. We have fun and play and we have business and career and we have sexuality and we have relationships and we have family time and we have all of these different areas that we want to health and wellness. Like, we have all these different areas that we want to balance. And when we can see what is our potent priority, And how can we integrate some of these mundane things that just need to be done? Let's say washing the dishes. How can we make that a fun and play activity? How can we make that health and wellness? How can we make that activity into something that's actually helping you get into an expansive state? And so having an actual visual for a lot of people and going, this is where I'm spending my time and where are my energy drains and how does it work? Like if you recognize that every day at 2 o'clock, you need to take a nap or you feel tired, or this is where you scroll on your phone for an hour. Why is that? What happened 2 hours before that consistently makes you get into that energy state? Maybe it's a food allergy. Maybe there's something there that we can then observe. Where are we feeling expansive and we're really feeling more complete, more balanced when we can actually see, look, I did the dishes, but I did it while I was listening to music and having a dance party with my kid. So that could be fun and play, or it can be family, or it could be health and wellness because I'm doing something that's actually, I'm dancing and I'm moving my body. So I get the choice then, which expansion category do I want to put that in? And then seeing, okay, where's my dead zones? Where am I just losing time? And is it, I now have a choice because everything starts with an awareness. Our healing starts with awareness. We have to be aware, wow, I spend an hour every day just zoned out looking through Facebook or looking at Instagram or whatever it is. Is that something how I really want to spend my time and approaching it differently? Like, okay, I know that I'm going to this Facebook page to find inspiration. That's totally different than just zoning out and scrolling, right? Like you made an intention to show up here now. You're not scrolling everything else, right? And so it's just having that awareness of how we utilize our time and does it bring us into an expansive energy state? And how can we eliminate those areas of zones of incompetence, zones of competence, areas that aren't the things that excite us? And how can we infuse the exciting, playful expansion energy in the dead zones so that we live a brighter life? And that doesn't mean that we don't get to take naps anymore. If our body needs naps, my body sometimes needs a nap. Sometimes my body needs to zone out and watch a movie with my daughter. And knowing that and giving permission, going, I'm doing this with choice, not because I have to, not because my energy is like dead. It's that I choose health and wellness and my body needs a nap. And so I'm going to choose this activity to support me in that. And then I'm going to choose healthy foods that will help me have more energy and be in that expansive state.
Well, and I love with that awareness, you almost become an alchemist with your own time, where you take this thing that may feel like work or that, like you said, washing the dishes. And so you take this thing that's usually not that amazing and you think, okay, how can I make this more fun? How could I make this something with my potent priority? And what ends up happening is when you put those two together, you do, you get to play the alchemist with your time, and suddenly the dishwasher isn't some mundane, boring task that you have to do. You get to play with the bubbles and you get to have fun. And maybe you get to listen to a fun song. And so it does become that aspect of play. And so you've transformed how you view that part of your day. And in that transformation of your mindset, you're going to find a transformation in how you're using your time then too. Because like we said earlier, when you get into that expansive state, you're more on the wavelength of the version of you that you want to be, that expansive version of you who lives where time is not an issue. Time's not even real where he or she is. And so when you get in that wavelength, suddenly you're opening yourself up. And I think one thing too, you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but we always have this idea that our life is for something in a way. And a lot of times you see it with work. Like when you ask someone what they do, they tell you what they do for their job. You know, they don't tell you that unless they're a stay-at-home mom, they don't tell you that they're also a mom or that they play soccer for fun or, you know, all of these other aspects of life. And I started looking at it almost as like a sandbox. Like you have the actual sandbox that is your life. And in your sandbox, you have toys. Some of them are bigger than the other. You know, the work castle builder might be the biggest one. But you also have like the little seashell imprint that you can make with your sand and all of these other toys in your sandbox. And we choose to focus on the giant castle builder that is work or career or whatever it is. And we say that everything else outside of it is extra. We get to do these extra things when we're done building the giant castle of work. And what I come back to is, what if instead of looking at the castle builder, you looked at the sandbox and you said, this is life. Like, what if you made life your focus? And then it breaks down those structures. It breaks down the rigidity that we have around our schedules, because suddenly it's not, I work and I figure out everything else around work. It's I live. And what does life look like today? You know, and in that, suddenly your structures, your schedules, they break down because you don't have to have this giant castle builder of work done before you do everything else. Yeah. You have life and it's all part of it. The work, the play, everything, health and wellness, spirituality, personal development, all of the things that are on that life wheel. They're on the life wheel. They're not on the things that you get to do after you're done with work. Wheel, you know, work is just as even of a sliver as everything else on that wheel. And so when I think of that sandbox analogy, it's like, are you focusing your time and energy on work, or are you focusing your time and energy on life? Because even that is a much more expansive view of how you're going to use your time. Because when you're just looking at work, you've narrowed that telescope view into, this is my day. This is my working day. I'm going to do these things. This will make me productive today if I get my work done. But when you look at life, suddenly you have all of these other areas that you're able to look at and you go, ooh, that one looks fun. Or maybe I could do that one today. And it's already more expansive. And that doesn't mean that you have to kick the giant castle out of the sandbox and never work again. Obviously, at some point, if you want a castle, you're going to have to put in the work to build it. But what if you just focused on the sandbox and filled up your sandbox and your time with all of the things in there instead of just focusing on one and closing out all of the other possibilities?
Love it. And with that, I want to wrap up and say, so the next time when you go and meet something, instead of asking, what do you do? Ask, how do you spend your time? How do you spend your time? And notice the different dynamic brings to the conversations, because that's a more expansive statement. How do you spend your time? What mm-hmm. asking them, what do you choose to do? So know that if you're interested in continuing this conversation with either one of us, we are available for chakra clairvoyant coaching sessions. We teach this in our programs, and so look forward to supporting you in the future, and hope you have plenty of time the rest of this day to contemplate how you can get into an expansive state today and every day moving forward. Thanks for everyone.
Reiki Cafe Radio is sponsored by Reiki Cafe University, where your Reiki dreams become reality. Join us on Instagram or Facebook at Reiki Cafe University. Watch our videos on YouTube or visit the website to learn more about our colleges of Reiki, chakras, and business.
It is our aim to help you on your path to wellness, guiding you into confidence, transmute your inner critic, and say yes to you. Your path to abundance, wellness, and health unfolds from here.
And love and light, Christine Renee.
And Bruce Taylor.